I want you to, if you have your Bibles with you, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And today I want to speak to you about fine china. And basically, I'm going to be focusing in on, you know, that we were created to be carriers of the glory of God. We are meant to be spirit-filled people. We are meant to be a people that represents the kingdom of God and reflect the kingdom of God. And, you know, it comes from that the importance of knowing who we are and what we are called to do is based on a living, I'll say this again, a living experiential knowledge of God and His power at work in us and through us. His power in us. If we're not having a living experiential knowledge of God, which we're going to read about now in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 10, then what knowledge do we have? It's just something that we just read in a book, or it's not a living experience, because that's where it's all about. When you look at the people within the Bible, they all had a living experiential knowledge of God. Noah did, Abraham did, even Adam and Eve did. You can look all the way through. They all had a living experiential knowledge of God. Now that doesn't change. You know, we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth and reveal to us what is to come. And He won't speak only on what He will speak only what He hears, which is already being spoken through the Word of God or through revelation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 10, it says the following. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. One of the things my grandmother, for example, used to do for me, she always used to collect china for me, and I never understood why until I got older. And the china that I have, I never really got rid of. I mean, I sold other things. I mean, when I was a drug addict, I would sell everything and everything and everything else. But I never sold the china that she got me. And the china that she got me was Royal Doulton, Royal Wedgwood, Cole Porter. And it was all this really, really expensive stuff, which I still have in storage. And I have it over here in Korea. And I never understood why she did that for me. I mean, they're all like limited edition collector's pieces. I think to myself, we're kind of like that. We are unique, limited edition pieces of china. There's no one else like you that God has made to be like you, to only do what you can do. And one of the things is that when you look at there are a number of processes involved in creating china. And basically the first one is clay making. How many of you know that ashes to ashes, dust to dust? You know, Adam was formed from the clay of the earth and God breathed into him. You are vessels. You are being formed. And the thing is, though, the clay making process involves several types of ingredients. There's about like five different ingredients. And then it's all mixed together. Mixed together. And it's left for a little while. And then there's the mold-making process, which there is a master mold involved. You know that we were all made in the image of God, right? However, that image got distorted. It got marred. But still, there's a master mold involved. And then there's a forming involved. The Bible says that we ought to be conformed into the image of the Son. And then there's a casting. And the casting is very interesting because the casting is the waiting period. There's a certain drying out that goes on, a solidifying. And then after the mold-making process, there is what is called the firing of the bone china. And that takes 9 hours in an oven at a temperature of 2,290 degrees Fahrenheit, for those of you who are an American, but for those of you who are European or go by centigrade, 1,254 degrees centigrade. That is extremely hot for 9 hours. in an oven. Consider it not a strange thing when the testing of your faith is as though you're being tested by fire, says Peter. And then after that, you think, okay, that's it for the china. No, there's the glazing process where it gets glazed. You get that nice sheen on it and everything else. And again, it goes in the oven again for another 8.5 hours in the oven at 2020 degrees Fahrenheit or 1,104 degrees centigrade for 8.5 hours. How many of you feel like you've been going through a trial in your life? And you're like, oh man, I can't take this anymore. Hey, listen, you're going through a process. He is the potter, you are the clay. We're going to get to that very soon. And then after that, for those of you who are going to be doing ceramic mugs and the rest of it, after that comes the decorating. And depending on how it has been decorated, what it's been decorated with, will then go into the oven again for another 1.5 hours. 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit or 760 degrees centigrade. You never stop going through the oven. Because God is, he's already shaping you, he's forming you, he's molding you, and then there's the firing process, there's the glazing, and then he's decorating you. There are vessels for honor, there are vessels for dishonor. He is the potter, and you are the clay. And let me tell you something, as the clay, you do go through the fire, and there's no escaping that. None whatsoever. And when after all that is done, you get this beautiful fine china. Now, I always remember my grandparents, especially my grandmother, even though she would buy me all of these, Wedgwood and Dalton and all these beautiful pieces of china. My mother had some beautiful china as well. Is that if the guests were coming round, get out the fine china. And the funny thing is that they always had a special cabinet with a special china. Yeah, the china cabinet, exactly. And they would take it out for special occasions. And it would be like the silverware and everything. And then after it was all done, they would go through the whole process of cleaning the silver with a silver cloth and this whole thing, and then put it away for special occasions. But, you know, the crazy thing about it is I would be like, why can't you use it every day? And they'd be like, oh, no, it's just for special occasions. But we're kind of like that as Christians. We're kind of in the china cabinet, and we only come out on special occasions. And we shouldn't be just coming out on special occasion. We should be coming out on every occasion because we are jars of clay. And within the jars of clay, we have a treasure which is reflecting in the knowledge, the living knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And people should see that about you. We shouldn't sell ourselves short because we've been bought with a price. The Creator in the new creation. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 1 through 3 through 4, God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And God saw the light and it was good. And that light that God has put within you is important for us to understand, because Jesus then again says in Matthew 5, 14 through 16, he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let the light shine out of the darkness. You are the light of the world. And God, that light that is within you, God looks upon it and says, it is good. And that light that shines out into the darkness and disperses the darkness is that which we should not hide, but set it high. And it should draw. It's amazing when you put light out. I never forget when I was in Cambodia and the lights were on, you just had these like weird looking insects just like everywhere. It draws. Light draws. It casts away the darkness, but it also draws. And the fact is that as a new creation in Christ Jesus, the Creator who dwells within us, when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, that we are to reflect who the Creator is. And he says later on in verse 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. It's not because, oh, look what I did. It's the fact of, that the works that you do point to the Father and give glory to Him. The Creator in the new creation is sometimes downplayed. Oh, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Woohoo! But do you really understand the Creator within you who has made you a new creation? He has taken that marred vessel and made it a proper vessel. That you will be conformed into the image of the Son. That you will be renewed in your mind on a daily basis. That you will be quickened in your mortal body. The Creator in the new creation, if we could just understand that, the fact is that when God spoke, it happened. The power of the spoken word, the Creator within us, is so important. We should never downplay who He is in us. If we do, then what are we doing? We cheapen. We cheapen who we are. We are fine china. There is treasures in these earthenware vessels. And though you may go through the firing process or the molding process or wherever you're at in your walk with the Lord, it never stops because God highly prizes who you are. He highly prizes who you are, because if you don't think that, then you should know that, because it should come out of a living experiential knowledge, because the Creator of heaven and earth spends more time doting over you, loving on you, than what you could ever realize. And He wants to show His fine china to the world around. He doesn't want to save it for special occasions. He doesn't want to save it for Christmas or Easter or whenever the case may be. He wants to show you the world His fine china on a daily basis. That's you and I. The Creator, the new creation. I don't feel like it. Well, it's by faith. It's not by feelings. You know, and I'll soon get into that. I've often said this, is that God, the extraordinary in the ordinary. In verse 7, it says, but we have this, we have. Everyone say we have. Not they have, or that special person has. We have, collectively as believers, as new creations in Christ Jesus, with the Creator of heaven and earth that dwells within us, and that living relationship that we have this treasure in jars of clay. Who is the jars of clay? You and I. It's us. To show, that means to display, that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So within this jar of clay is a treasure that holds within us a surpassing power that doesn't belong to us, but is meant to show the world around us. You're the light of the world, and we are to show that light. But we're also to show and exercise the authority of the believer, that light to the world around us. Treasure. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And when I read this, and I read it over, and I remember what was said in Matthew, and basically what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6:21, he's saying, where does your loyalty lie? And here in 2 Corinthians 4:7, the loyalty of the believer is with God. This treasure that you have within you is supposed to point to your loyalty to God. The point is that the things most highly treasured by a person will occupy the heart, the center of the personality, embracing mind, emotions, and will. That which you treasure the most encapsulates who and what you believe in, what you reflect as this jar of clay, this earthen vessel. Jars of clay in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father." Jesus said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Our Father, we are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the his workmanship. Our Father, he molds us and shapes us. There is a master image that has been pressed in that we are to reflect and we are to have, but it's marred. However, we are all his workmanship. We may see the imperfections. Yes, we are an imperfect people who serve a perfect God. But then he takes those and he reworks it. He reworks it. You are a new creation. And he renewing your mind. Sometimes we often get it wrong in the day and age we live in. And in the type of Christianity that we're seeing. And some of you have told me about that. And experienced in different places. Is that there's this, you know, I the clay will tell the potter what to do. And we can read in Jeremiah. And the potter goes, "What? No, I form you the way I want to form you. You don't tell me what you want to be. I'm forming you into what you should be." Many of us want to be what we want to be. But if we could only be what God wants us to be, we'd make a bigger difference and have a bigger impact if we just allow God to be God in our lives. And allow the Creator to shine in and through us as new creations. And within, we have this treasure in these jars of clay, and it is a surpassing power. When I think of the word, you got power there, which obviously comes from the word dunamis, but the word surpassing, when you look at that word alone, it means exceptional or extraordinary, unrivaled. You have an unrivaled power within you that not even this world can confront, not even match. It's another word for surpassing is matchless. There's nothing that can compare to that. It's incomparable. The power that dwells within you, the person that dwells within you is incomparable, matchless, unrivaled. There's no one else like Jesus. He's unrivaled. There's no one else like Jesus. He's incomparable. There's no one else like Jesus. He's matchless. And that power that dwelled within him, that raised him from the grave, dwells within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As a new creation. Never forget the value of who you are. Not what you are, who you are. Because of that surpassing power that dwells within you, the greatness of God. In 2 Corinthians, later on in the same book, 9:14, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, this unrivaled grace, this matchless grace, this extraordinary grace that's upon you. And by the way, when we think of the word grace, we often think of it as divine favor or unmerited favor. But here it's the word grace means to be enabled, to be divinely enabled. This surpassing divinely enabled power that comes from God that is upon you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, then he is strong. My grace is made sufficient. Where? In your weakness. And in Philippians 3:8, Paul again says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." The surpassing worth. There's no price. It's unrivaled. It's matchless price of knowing who Christ is And he says, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. I like the word in the King James Version. It's dung. Dung. And in Greek, it means skubla. Anyways, in order that I may gain Christ. Everything he considers his past, everything his suffering, he considers it waste, physical waste. It doesn't matter to him. It's gone. That he may gain Christ, that he may know the surpassing power, that he may know the surpassing grace, that he may know the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's who dwells within you. Do you have that surpassing desire of knowing who he is, the worth of knowing him in your life? Every day, I always learn something new about who he is and who I am in his eyes. And it increases the worth of knowing who I am, but then it also deepens my knowledge and worth of knowing who he is. Because if you don't know who you are, then you won't know what to do. And finally, I come to life in life. In verses 8 through 10, it says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made manifested in our body. There are times where life, well and truly, pardon the expression, sucks. And you feel that there are things coming at you. You know, you're feeling afflictions, or you feel like that you're perplexed, and there's persecution, and there's just always things going on in life. Things happen in life. Correct? Things happen in life. If you're not feeling anything in life, what are you feeling? Are you alive is the question. But when you go through life, it's like when you're going through the oven, when you're going through the fiery furnace, consider it not a strange thing, the testing of your faith, as though you're being tested by fire. You're going through the oven. Why? Because he's making you and forming you into his image. When you feel that there's no life in life, he gives life in life. John 10:10, I'm not going to read the first part because it's pointless, because in the second part, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the creator that dwells within the new creation creates new life. Life everlasting. Life in the here and now. Life, life, life. When you feel tired and you can't go on, he will quicken your mortal body, the scripture says. He will give you life. If you feel down and you feel that you can't go on, he will give you life. He will give you the joy that will help you to press on to see beyond your present circumstance. Sometimes, I'll speak to this of my own accord as well, is that sometimes I have even let circumstances dictate to me. But then there came a point where I just turned, hang on, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and I'm not going to let the circumstances dictate to me. Now people may think that's a bit cuckoo, but the matter of the fact is that we're meant to rise above, not fall below. He'll take us through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll take us through the valley of tears. He'll take us through the valley of decision. These are the things we go through in order to come out tried, tested, and found true. Because then, when you've gone through all of those things, when you've gone through all of those trials, when you've gone through those testings, when you've gone through the furnace, and you've gone through all of those things, you can look back and go, I'm stronger than what I used to be. I'm not who I was. I am who I should be, but I'm not who I should be because I'm always in the process. The process never stops. I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. If you're feeling all haggard, beat up, and downcast, all my soul, you say, why are you so downcast, all my soul? Put your, what? hope, trust in God. Put off the garment, put on the garment of praise instead of the garment of heaviness, instead of the spirit of heaviness. These are all things that we can choose to do or not do, to be or not to be. That is the question. I choose to be and walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus today, no matter what's going on in my life, or I'm going to turn around and just drag my feet and stamp my feet and suck my thumb and grab my blanket and go, wah, 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 wah. We've all done it. I've done it. But the moment we grab a hold of who He is in us, this surpassing power that dwells within us, this jar of clay, these jars of clay, we have this treasure. We have this treasure in these jars of clay. The surpassing power of God that belongs to God, not to us. This is who dwells within us. This is what dwells within us. I think it's the Common English Bible, or the Contemporary English Bible. In Jeremiah 18, verse 4, it says this, "But the peace he was making was flawed. And while it was still in his hands, so the potter started on another, as seemed best to him." Meaning, he took that flawed piece of pottery and recreated it. He remolded it. Whatever is happening in your life today, whatever is going on in your circumstances, allow God to recreate, remold you, to shape you, form you into His image. Take a moment to pray. Lord, I simply ask you that as new creations in you, we will allow the Creator of heaven and earth to shine in and through us. And we ask you, Lord, that this surpassing power of God, the surpassing grace of God, the surpassing worth of knowing who you are, will be seen in the ordinary. In these ordinary jars of clay. And that, Lord, if we're struggling in life, that you would give us life in life. You would breathe life into us. Smoldering flax you will not put out, and a bruised reed you will not break. But you will strengthen and you will cause to reignite again. And I just simply ask you, Holy Spirit, that for those who are here today and for those who are not, I pray that you pour out your Spirit upon them, that they would understand the worth of knowing who they are in you, and that be reflected in the world around us. And I thank you, Lord. Pray that you would just be magnified. Lord, for the mothers that are here today, it's Mother's Day, Lord, I pray for those mothers who we know that have given birth to children and mothers who are back home. We just ask you, Father, that you would just bless them and meet their needs. I thank you for the mothers here. I thank you for my own mother. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now as you understand and walk in the knowledge that the treasure you have within you, this jar of clay, the surpassing power, the surpassing grace, the surpassing worth of knowing who He is, be reflected.